City of Destruction, an audio drama by JesusForSinners.com, episode 17.
Come in.
You wanted to see me, Bob?
Yes, Madeline. As you know, the big signing ceremony for the new hate speech law is tomorrow. All the media outlets are going to be there. It's going to be a huge event. I want you to be there too, Madeline.
What? Why do I need to be there?
We need a visible sign that you support this hate speech law. This incident with the street preacher and the police last month has been killing us. Our poll numbers are down 12%. This couldn't come at a worse time either. We're just about to send up our government efficiency legislation to the city council. We need the public's support right now. Some of the cuts are controversial. We need to put this incident of yours behind us once and for all. I'm sure you'd like this to be over, too.
I can't support this law, Bob. This is censorship. It violates our city's constitution. The only reason it made it through the city council is because of all the pressure from the activists. This thing will be struck down once it reaches the courts.
I wouldn't be too sure about that, Madeline. Besides, that's the court's problem. Our problem is that the public supports this law, and my most senior advisor doesn't. It makes us look like my administration is in chaos, like there's dissension in the ranks. It makes us look hypocritical when we're pushing for government efficiency and our own administration is pulling in different directions.
It's a great opportunity to show the people of this city that everyone's rights will still be respected, even those who disagree with the majority. That's a timely message to send. I'm sure there are people who will be wondering what rights they still have once you sign that law.
People don't have the right to advocate hatred toward others, Madeline.
Since when did disagreeing with someone become hatred?
Madeline, I'm not going to do this with you again. The people of the city want this legislation. The city council passed it, and I'm going to sign it. My supporters would burn me at the stake if I didn't.
You mean the gay activists, right, Bob?
And the rest of the people of this city, too. Madeline, you're on the wrong side of this. You need to let this go. I don't know what's gotten into you over these past few months, but it's time to let it go and move on. We have a lot to do, and I need you on board 100%. And that starts tomorrow. You are going to be at that signing ceremony. I can't have the public think that there's anyone in this administration that supports hatred and bigotry.
I can't do it, Bob. It's wrong. It's not just about censorship, either. It's wrong because, well, people need to be warned that what they're doing is wrong. Not just the gay people, but everyone who's doing things that God doesn't like. If someone doesn't warn them, if people aren't allowed to warn them, then they're going to go to hell forever, Bob. And I don't want to see that happen to anyone.
What? God? Hell? Madeline? What's this all about?
God saved me, Bob. It happened a couple weeks ago. Oh, I guess he's been working on me for a while, but a couple weeks ago, he showed me that I needed Jesus, and I needed him now. The weight of my sins was just too much. I was worried about what was going to happen to me. I needed to get right with God, and he saved me, Bob. He saved me.
I can't believe it.
I couldn't believe it either. It started with this woman I talked to during the campaign in a grocery store, of all places. She's a Christian. Her husband is the pastor of the church over on 95th. God used her to open my eyes, Bob. It's a miracle. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. I can't believe you've been sucked in by these fanatics. Are you kidding me, Madeline?
What? Well, I didn't expect you to be excited for me, but I didn't think you'd be upset either. And what do you mean, fanatics? These are the same people who supported you for years. You didn't think they were fanatics when you wanted their votes.
This is incredible. My senior advisor is a radical Christian. I can't believe it. Do you have any idea what this is going to do to my poll numbers?
Your poll numbers? Bob, we're talking about eternity here. Jesus saved me. I'm not going to hell when I die. And you, Bob, you need to repent and believe in Jesus too, before it's too late. You've been going in the wrong direction, Bob, just like I was. Please, Bob, I don't want to see you go to hell.
Ah, you're already talking like them. This is the kind of hate speech thing we're trying to put a stop to.
Hate speech? No, Bob. I'm just telling you about Jesus. He can save you from your sins the way he saved me. You won't have to worry about hell. You can spend eternity in heaven with him forever. It's good news, Bob. He'll take care of your sin problem just like he did for me.
You can't talk like that, Madeline. Not everyone believes in Jesus. And most people don't want someone telling them that what they do is sinful and that they need help. Come on, Madeline. Look at what you're doing.
None of us wants to hear this when we're still stuck in our sins, Bob. But we need to hear it. Someone has to warn these people, just like God sent someone to warn me. He does it because he loves us and wants to save us. You can't sign that law and take away people's right to help others.
Telling them they're going to hell isn't helping, Madeline.
But it's the truth, Bob. If a person with cancer went to a doctor and the doctor told her she had a sprained ankle so as not to upset her, do you really think the doctor would be helping her? Sometimes people need to hear the truth in order to be cured. We need to know how much trouble we're in so that we can see how much we need Jesus and how loving he is for saving us.
What have they done to you, Madeline? You used to be a normal person. I've known you almost since I got started in this business, and now I don't even know who you are.
I'm a new creation, Bob. The old things are passed away. My priorities have changed, Bob. I just want to obey and serve God. And I want to help you, Bob. You're in a position of great responsibility and power. God can use you to do so much good in this city, to lead this city away from all the evil things that are going on. But God has to save you first, Bob. Then you'll see. And you can be so useful for him, Bob. There's so much you can do.
I don't need God's help to get done the things that need to get done. I don't need to lead this city away from evil. This city is just fine. It's becoming more open, more tolerant, and more inclusive. The best thing I can do for this city is get rid of the bigots and the fanatics so that normal people can just get on with their lives. I'm giving you one more chance, Madeline. You need to be at that signing ceremony tomorrow. And I need you to say a few words of support for this new law and apologize for the incident last month. This needs to be over now, Madeline.
Oh, Bob, I can't do any of those things.
Then you leave me no choice, Madeline. I'm going to have to ask you for your resignation.
Please, Bob, let's talk about this.
There's nothing to talk about. The only thing you can do to save your job is to show up at that event tomorrow.
I'm not talking about my job. Let's talk about you, about where you stand with God. I have got some really good news for you, Bob.
Unbelievable. Madeline, you're fired.
Oh, Bob. Remember, Bob, if you ever need to talk, I'm here for you. You have my number. You're always welcome to call me. I'll always be there for you, Bob.
Thank you. In just a few minutes, I'll be signing this historic piece of legislation into law. But first, let me say that I am so proud to be your president at this historic moment. We've already made great strides with the gay marriage law that I helped shepherd through the city council. I was honored to sign the non-discrimination law at the start of my administration. And now today, the next step in eliminating the scourge of bigotry and hate in our fair city. There it is. Bigotry and hate are officially outlawed. I hope this clarifies any doubt about where my administration stands on the issue of equality and inclusion. I have zero tolerance for bigotry, hate, and radical ideologies. As you know, over the past month, there have been questions raised about my commitment to equality. My longtime advisor, Madeline Carlisle, was involved in an altercation with police as they were trying to protect our citizens from a radical, I hate to even call them Christian, a radical bigot who was spreading hate throughout our city. I told Madeline in no uncertain terms that equality and tolerance for all our citizens is my highest priority. The people of this city can love whomever they want. They can believe in whatever God they want, as long as they are tolerant of other people's beliefs as well. Any of our citizens can live any way they want, as long as they obey the law and respect the rights of others. It saddens me greatly to inform you that Madeline could not support my position of tolerance, fairness, and love for all our citizens. As a result, Madeline Carlisle is no longer part of this administration. On a personal note, when you work with someone as long as I've worked with Madeline, you start to think you know someone pretty well. Unfortunately, it seems that Madeline has come under the influence of people and groups in our city that, well, they don't seem to want the best for her. But I still care about Madeline. And while there is no place in my administration for those who will not embrace all of our brothers and sisters, I do wish Madeline the best and hope that she can escape the evil influences that are still affecting too many of our citizens. I'll fight for you, Madeline. I'll fight to free those who've been brainwashed by these cults of intolerance. I'll fight against the forces of hatred and bigotry in this city. I will fight for the freedoms of all United City citizens. This is just the beginning. The war on hatred has begun.
Isn't it about time to start the service, Harold?
To tell you the truth, Carol, I was waiting a little bit in the hopes that more people would show up.
Yes, it seems like we lose a few more families every week.
Well, look at the bright side. It can't go on much longer. There won't be anyone left but us.
Ugh, not funny, Harold.
I know. Just trying to lighten the mood. Oh, there's something you don't see every Sunday. A new family showing up.
Huh? Madeline! Oh, Harold, that's Madeline, the lady I told you about. Welcome! Come in!
Hi, Carol.
Madeline, it is so good to see you. And who's this handsome young man?
This is Jared. Believe it or not, he does smile occasionally. Just not today.
Not a morning person, huh, Jared?
Not a church person.
Jared! I'm sorry, Carol. As you can probably tell, this wasn't his idea.
Well, I'm glad it was your idea. I can't tell you how happy I am to see you, Madeline.
I'm so happy to see you too, Carol, and it was God's idea, not mine. He saved me, Carol. He saved me.
What? Oh, Madeline, praise Jesus.
Oh, I know. Hallelujah, it's so amazing. It's just like you said, Carol. He took care of everything. My sins are forgiven. I don't want to sin against him anymore, and I'm at peace with him, Carol. I don't feel like I'm his enemy anymore. It's such a blessing, Carol. It's such a miracle.
Oh, Madeline, I'm so happy for you. It's wonderful. I was so worried when I heard you got fired earlier this week. I didn't know if that was the enemy trying to undermine what God was doing with you or what.
Oh, no. God saved me before that. But it was because he saved me and gave me his strength that I was able to stand up to Bob. He wanted me to be at that signing ceremony for the hate speech law. He wanted me to make a public show of support for that terrible law, but God gave me the strength to say no. He's so wonderful, Carol. I never could have done that without him. I never would have wanted to do that if he hadn't saved me.
God is so merciful.
He is. He is.
Wow. It is just so great to see you here. And you too, Jared, even if you're not too excited at the moment.
Let me know when it's over, and then I'll be excited.
Jared Carlisle. I'm sorry, Carol. God's still got some work to do with him.
Well, let's see what God has to say to him today. Harold, this is Madeline and Jared. Madeline, Jared, this is my husband, Pastor Jennings.
Hello, Pastor. It's so nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you too, Madeline. And it's very nice to meet you too as well, sir.
Say hello, Jared.
Hello, Jared.
Sorry about that. God's still got some work to do with him.
Well, Jared, you're in a pretty good place to find out more about God. I preach straight from the Bible. I'm here to let you know what God's told us through his word. I'm not here to entertain you.
Don't worry. I'm sure I won't find this entertaining at all.
Jared! Carol, can we go sit down before my son embarrasses me any further?
Yep. Right this way. I'll show you the auditorium.
You won't have any trouble finding a seat today.
Big surprise. Jared!
Pastor!
Andrea, is that a smile I see?
Pastor, they made me an offer. Eastside Christian offered me a job.
They did? Praise God. Did you accept it?
Yes, I start tomorrow.
Oh, Andrea, that's wonderful.
What's this?
Mark, I got a job, a teaching job.
Oh, the one you were talking about before?
Yes, Eastside Christian. I start tomorrow.
Oh, wow. That's great, Andrea. When did you find out about it?
They made me an offer earlier this week. I prayed about it for 2 days. I really wanted to make sure this is God's will. I think it is. I think he's giving me another chance to teach kids, to teach them the right things this time. I accepted the offer on Friday.
Friday? Why didn't you call me?
I wanted to tell everyone here. I wanted everyone to know so we could praise God together. I wanted to share this with my whole church family.
We certainly have something to celebrate today. Praise God for how he takes care of us.
Yeah, this is terrific, Andrea. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you, Mark. You've been such a big help, such an encouragement. It's so wonderful, Mark. He's giving me another chance. Oh, Pastor, please pray that he gives me the strength to be strong and faithful.
We'll all pray for you, Andrea. What a blessing this is.
Thank you, Pastor. I need God's people to remind me to be strong. God's put me in such a perfect environment at this school. I get to teach children about Jesus. I don't have to teach them all those terrible things. The only thing I need to worry about is me. I need everyone's help to make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do. Every day.
You know you can count on me, Andrea.
Oh, Mark, you're such a blessing. God's used you so much to keep me on the narrow path and to encourage me. Thank you for everything.
God's people are here for each other. Iron sharpens iron.
Well, we better get the service started. We have a lot of sharpening to do today and celebrating.
Come on, Andrea, let's grab a seat.
Is Brian here? We can all sit together.
No, he's not here.
Again?
I know. We really need to pray for him. It's getting worse. He's drifting away.
Mark!
Hi, Brian.
What are you doing here?
I didn't see you at church this morning. I was worried. Andrea and I are both worried. We hardly ever see you anymore. And now we don't even see you at church.
I've been swamped at work. It's crazy. I've been trying to call, but as soon as I think of it, something comes up and I get sidetracked.
Andrea got a new job. A teaching job over at Eastside Christian.
She did? That's great! Wow, I'll bet she's happy she'll be teaching at a Christian school.
Yeah. God's been very kind to her. It's just about a perfect situation. She's really relieved to be in a Christian environment. She's so excited. I haven't seen her this excited since we graduated.
Yeah, the other job was just killing her. She was always so depressed. I almost forgot what it looked like to see her smile.
Yeah. That's why I wish you would have been there this morning, Brian. We all celebrated and praised God together for what he's done for her. God's people worshiping him for his goodness and kindness. It was pretty special, Brian. I just wish you would have been there.
I know. I'm sorry. I've just been wiped out. I'm hardly getting any sleep. I wish I could have been there.
Do you remember when we graduated from high school? Remember the night before graduation at the school?
Huh? Oh, you mean the football field.
Yeah. You, me, and Andrea sitting in the middle of the football field.
We were there almost the whole night. I almost overslept and missed the graduation ceremony.
Yeah, me too. Do you remember what we talked about that night?
We were talking about how great our lives were, how great God has been to us.
That's right. Remember we talked about the families that God's given us? We talked about how nice it was that we were all friends?
And how God made it possible for us to all go to the same college. Oh, and that I didn't die that time we were climbing the tree in your backyard and I fell and broke my arm.
And that my mom didn't kill me for climbing that tree after she told us not to. And how great it was that three teenagers could sit in the middle of a football field at 3 a.m. and praise God together and not run out of things to say.
Yeah.
What happened, Brian?
I don't know. I guess it's easier when we're kids.
Do you remember the promise, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like one of those other teenage promises.
Yeah. No matter what happens, we'll always be friends. We'll never drift apart.
Right. It was more than that. Remember?
Yeah.
Even if we do drift apart, we'd always be together as God's children. Even if we were on opposite ends of the planet, we could think about each other and know that we all have something in common. Jesus. And what he did for us. And we'd always keep praising him together. Even when we were apart. And even if we never saw each other again in this life, we know that we'd see each other again in heaven, and we'd praise him there forever, the three of us, together.
Yeah, that was a good promise.
Yeah, Brian, it was. But I don't want to wait until heaven, and I don't want you to forget what ties us together. I'm afraid, Brian. I'm afraid of the other things in your life that are distracting you from what really matters. I'm afraid the tie is getting loose, and I don't want you to drift away from us. and I really don't want you to drift away from God.
I'm not drifting.
Are you sure? You don't come to church anymore. You're doing things in your business that you have to know are wrong.
Not this again.
No, not this again. It's not your business I'm worried about, Brian. It's you. It's you and God. I don't want to see you drift away from Him. I don't want to see you love the things of the world rather than the things that God wants you to.
It's not that easy, Mark. Life is busy. It's complicated.
No, Brian, it's not. It's still just three Christians sitting in the dark on a football field, and the only thing on their mind is God. All they can think about, all they can talk about. God doesn't have to take second place, Brian. Not if we don't put Him there.
Yeah, well, I have a lot more things to worry about now than I did back then.
No, you don't, Brian. You just have to be obedient and honor God, that's all. He'll take care of everything else. I know it's easy to get distracted. Look at what's going on in my family. My dad had to retire, we don't have much money, and I can't find a job. The devil's always going to throw something at us to distract us from God. But Brian, God's already taken care of everything. He's already got the plan worked out. We just need to do the right things.
I wish it were that easy.
It is that easy, Brian.
No, Mark, it's not. Just like that night on the football field, eventually the sun comes up, and you have to deal with the day. That's all I'm trying to do, deal with the day.
Just keep the promise, Brian.
It was just a kid's game, Mark.
No, Brian, it was a promise. A promise God can help us keep.
We're not teenagers anymore, Mark.
Just keep the promise, Brian. We can help each other, lift each other up.
I'll talk to you later, Mark. I need to get ready. I've got to go to the office for a bit.
None of it matters, Brian. The things on the field, the things we talked about all night, the things we praised God for together, those are the things that matter.
Other things matter too.
No, they don't. Only God. That's it.
There are other things, Mark.
God will take care of them. Let's just keep the promise, Brian. Come on, the three of us, together.
I gotta go, Mark.
Oh, Brian. Please, Father, help him.